Okay, so the Gemara in Bava Metzian Daf Lamed discusses the idea of Zakein Ve'ina Lefi Chvoda. If you remember back in the Eil Metzias days of earlier in the week, or the end of last week, before now we're deep in Hamafkid, heavy duty stuff again. So the Gemara here in Source 1, Bava Metzian Lamed Amin Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, V'his Alamta. So the Torah says that you're not supposed to hide yourself from an aveda. If you find something, a lost object, you're supposed to pick it up and return it to the owner. But the Torah formulates it in a funny way. It says v'hisalamta. The implication is that sometimes you're able to be misalim. Right? Sometimes you're allowed to hide, refrain from picking up the lost object. Ha'amim sha'ata misalim. The Braisa understands that sometimes you're allowed to be misalim. Sometimes you're allowed to refrain from engaging in Hashavas Aveda. And sometimes you're not allowed to. It depends. What are the cases? Haketzad. Hayakoin vihi vesakvaris. Let's say you have a Kohen and the lost object is in a cemetery. So we know that a Kohen is not allowed to go into the cemetery. He's not allowed to become Tomei. So that is one case where he's allowed to refrain from going into the Vesakvaris to do Hashavas Aveda. Oh, Shahayazakain vi'ena lefichvodo. Let's say the person was a Talmud Chacham, an older man, a Talmud Chacham, and it was beneath his dignity to engage in Hashavas Aveda. Let's say it was some type of object which would be beneath his kavod to do Hashavas Aveda. So then he's allowed to be misalem, he's allowed to refrain from Hashavas Aveda. Or it would cost more for him to engage in Hashavas Aveda than the value of the lost object. And all those cases, l'kach ne'emar v'yisalav demihem, in all those cases, the Torah allows the person to refrain from engaging in Hashavas Aveda. Okay, so the Gemara says, what is the pasuk of yisalav demihem necessary? Which case is it necessary for? L'may itzrich kra. E lema l'kohen v'hi b'vesa kvaros. If you're going to tell me that the pasuk is coming to tell us that the Kohen does not go into the cemetery in order to do Hashavas Aveda, says the Gemara Pshita, it's obvious. I don't need a pasuk to tell me that the Kohen does not go into the cemetery to do Hashavas Aveda. Why? Because high essay, Hashavas Aveda is a positive commandment. V'hai lo sa'asevi essay, there's a positive commandment and a negative commandment for a Kohen to become tummy, to go into a cemetery. And we know the rule is, v'lo asi essay v'dachi es lo sa'asevi essay. We know that even though there's a mitzvah, there's a din, there's a halacha of asay docha lo sa'asay, positive commandment and negative commandment, when they conflict, when they coincide, so the positive commandment pushes aside the negative commandment, but that's only true when it's one asay against one lo sa'asay. However, if it's an asay against a lo sa'asay and an asay, so then the halacha is that the asay does not push aside ein asay docha lo sa'asay v'yasay. So says the Gemara, in this case, I would have intuitively known that a Kohen should not go into the Beis HaKfaros in order to do Hashavas Aveda. Why? Because Hashavas Aveda is a positive commandment. So the positive commandment of Hashavas Aveda is not docha the lo sa'asay and the asay. There's a negative commandment and a positive commandment for a Kohen to not become tamei with a dead body. So therefore, it's obvious. I don't need the pasuk. I don't need the Torah to tell me the salamta that you're allowed to. The Kohen does not go into the basic Kvaros in order to do Hashavas Aveda. Okay, so the Gemara ends up saying that you need it for either Haisam Malachim Lo Shalom Beruvah Shal Chaveiro. But Lamais, the Gemara says that you don't need it for the case of Kohen and the object as in the Beis HaKvaros. Okay, so now, the Nemuke Yosef over here has a famous kasha. A famous kasha on this Gemara. The Gemara says that the reason a Kohen does not go into the Beis HaKvaros in order to do Hashavas Aveda is because it would be a violation of Ein Aseh Doche Lo Saseh V'Aseh. Correct? Ein Aseh Doche Lo Saseh V'Aseh. Frek the Nemuke Yosef the following question. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos tells us that one of the main rules of Aseh Doche Lo Saseh is that it has to be what? Be'idna. It has to be that the fulfillment of the mitzvah saseh happens at the same exact time. It coincides simultaneously with the violation of the lo saseh. The Gemara says, what are the two main examples of asay docha lo saseh? The Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, Gemara Masechet Beitza, what are the two? Mila and saras. Let's say there is a saras. There is some type of saras on the orla, on the bris mila. So the halacha is that even though there is an isser to cut off tzaras, you're supposed to go to the kohen and there's a whole tara process, you're not allowed to cut off tzaras, but nevertheless, you're allowed to do the mitzvah of bris milah, and that pushes aside the isser of cutting off tzaras, number one, and the other famous one is kilayim betzitzis. One is allowed to wear a beged of kilayim as long as there are also tzitzis strings on the beged. And the Gemara says the reason we say aseh dochalos aseh in those two cases is because the fulfillment of the mitzvah happens at the same time as the violation of the isser. It's what we call be'idna. Be'idna means in Aramaic, the same time. It's happening at the same time. So that's what the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says. We only say aseh dochalos aseh if it's similar to kilayim betzitzis and milah tzaras. That has to be be'idna. So Frechta Namukhe Yosef, the Namukhe asks, the following question. How can the Gemara say that a Kohen can't go into the cemetery to do Hashavas Aveda because it's an essay versus an assay and a los assay? Isn't there a more basic, obvious reason that the Kohen can't go into the Beis HaKvaros in order to do Hashavas Aveda? When does he fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? When he returns it. When is he going to become Tamei? Before he returns it, when he goes into the cemetery. So the fulfillment of the mitzvah is going to take place after the violation of the isser. And that's not be'idna. It's not similar to kilayim betzitzis, that when he puts on the beged, he's violating kilayim and fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzis. When you cut off the arla, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of milah and violating the prohibition of cutting off tzaras. They're happening simultaneously. Here, when the Kohen goes into the cemetery, he's becoming tameh before he fulfills the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So asks the Namukhe Yosef, it's not be'idna, the mitzvah is not being fulfilled at the same time that he's violating the Isser. So the Gemara should have said that the reason the Kohen does not go into the cemetery in order to do Hashavas Aveda is not because, ain't I say dochalos, I say give me a whole complicated halacha, more basic to the idea of aseh dochalos aseh, that's not happening at the same time. The fulfillment of the mitzvah, like you said, is happening at the time of the hashava, when he returns the object, and that's after he gets out of the cemetery. He's been tameh for the past few hours. So what's going on? Why does the Gemara seem to neglect the principle of be'idna? That's the question of the Namukhe Yosef. Everyone hear the question? Yeah? Correct. But the halacha is ein asay velos asay docha. We don't say asay and alos asay docha, or docha los asay and an asay. And only an asay has the power to push. Correct. Okay, so there are two answers. The Nubia has quotes two answers. The first answer is not so exciting, but it's going to be important because of the potential pushback. So the first answer of Nimuke Yosef is Enachanami, Laravcha de Milsa. Yeah, the Gemara could have said that, but we know that there are two qualifications to Aseh Dochalos Aseh. One is Be'idna, it has to happen at the same time. And the other is if there's a Los Aseh and Aseh on the other side of the equation, then we say Ein Aseh Dochalos Aseh Yaseh. And the Gemara chose one of them. It's true, the Gemara could have said another reason we're not going to invoke Aseh Dochalos Aseh is because it's not happening at the same time, it's not Be'idna. The Gemara chose one of the options, Laravcha de Milsa, the Gemara chose one, but in Hachanami, it's a very good question, and in principle, it's true, it's not Be'idna, it's not happening at the same time. Okay? That is the first answer of the Mukhe Yosef. Not so exciting. In Hachanami, it's not Be'idna. Now, take a look at the fourth line here. It's like five or six words in. You see Haran Bar Zal. Ranbar, it's not Barbar. Ranbar is Rabbeinu Nisim ben Reuven. That's the famous Ran. The Namukhe Yosef was a student of the Ran, so he refers to him as Ranbar, Rabbeinu Nisim ben Reuven, who was the rabbi in Girona, and he was the chief rabbi of Spain, basically in the 1300s. So he answers the question as follows. This is a very, very important answer. Tiritz. Haran Barzal Tiritz. Again, the question is, why does the Gemara seem to ignore the idea of Be'idna, that the fulfillment of the mitzvah is not happening simultaneously with the violation of the Avera? Tiritz. Dehochanami b'sha'a de'avar alav kiyam ha'aseh. Says the Ran, the hanacha, the assumption of the question is wrong. We are assuming that the fulfillment of the mitzvah takes place when? When he returns the object. Says the Ran, not so fast. It could be that the fulfillment of the mitzvah is really taking place simultaneously with the Avera. How so? Kamila Bitzaras. Why? Daha misasek hu b'mitzvas hashava b'sha'as akiras halav. Says the Ran that you are engaged in the mitzvah of hashava when you go into the cemetery. Now it's true what the Ran is about to say, that you haven't completed the mitzvah until you return the lost object. But hashavas aveda is really maybe a misnomer. Hashavas aveda is the finished product returning the lost object, but it could be that when one is engaged and being metapel in the lost object before he returns it, that's still part and parcel of the mitzvah. Va'afal pi shelo gamra, says the Ran, even though you haven't completed the mitzvah until you return it, ma'bekach, who cares? Gam mitzvah mila lo nigra ad depara. We know that the halacha is that when it comes to bris mila, there are two components to mila, right? There's mila and priya. There are two separate membranes that have to be cut off, the or hamila, the or hapriya. And the halacha is that when one only does mila without priya, it's a zero. It's a discussion, how much of a zero? But we paskin that you have to do both mila and priya. In order to complete the mitzvah of mila, you have to do both mila and priya. Nevertheless, says the Ran, we'll read it in a second inside, nevertheless, the Ran says, the Gemara still assumes that you're allowed to cut off the tzara'as when you cut off the or hamila, even though you haven't completed the mitzvah until you've done the complete or hapriya. So you see, says the Ran, we'll read it inside in a moment, you see, says the Ran, that even though you haven't completed the mitzvah, as long as you're participating in the mitzvah, you are fulfilling it on some level, even though it's not complete, we can still call that be'inna, we can still call that as simultaneous with the Avera. Dekaimlan mavala par kilomal, v'lom ematinan elakid amin perkreb lazer demila, v'yikot baraso v'yavo shevishas koches baraso ein v'sasir guf shal mitzvah. I know reading this fast. Dan avoda el machshero. Dehuz al savar, the guf ikar ha'asei, maschil mishas riyasa. Says the Ran, that the Iker Mitzvah begins when the person sees the lost object. Hilkach imhu mechavin legozla oleilich lo miyad avar haseh kamosha kasav zal. So says the Ran, the following fundamental idea, that the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is not the Hashava alone. The Hashava, returning the lost object, is the makiv patish, is the completion of the mitzvah. But if I were to ask you, or you were to ask me, what is the definition of the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda? It's not like Uncle Maishi says that it's returning lost things. That's not the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. It's in being engaged in the process of returning lost things. Exactly. It's the process. It should culminate with returning the lost object. That is the Makiv HaPatish. That's the Gemar. But the entire process was part and parcel of the mitzvah. And says the Ran, that's why when it comes to Be'inna, when the Kohen went into the Beis HaKvaros, he was fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda when he became Tameh. It was Be'inna. Now it's true, he didn't finish the mitzvah until much later on, but he was being the Kayim, the mitzvah, right when he went into the Beis HaKvaros, because that was when he was engaged in the mitzvah, the process of Hashavas Aveda. Wow, that's the Ran's big breakthrough chiddush in terms of understanding the parameter, the nature of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Now the Ran is going to, the Mukhe Yosef disagrees. Take a look.
So according to that, with the principle of Osek the mitzvah, Kvatar mitzvah apply even for this?
Excellent question. So it could be, yes. Yes, the answer is yes, it will. It will, correct. Yes, it will. We have to assume that the Ran thinks that, as will, that it's all part of the mitzvah. It's not just a Hechsher mitzvah, as we will see in the Nemukah Yosef. Aval HaRav Rabbi Yehosef Zal. That's Rabbi Yosef, the Nemukah Yosef is Rabbi Yosef Ibn Chaviv. Ibn Chaviva. So Rabbi Yosef Zal Kasav, Bilashona Ben Imukav. The Shar HaMefarshim Zal Lo Savri Hachi. The other commentaries disagree. The Yecholim Momar, the Lo Dam Yelamila. It's really not comparable to mila. Why? The mila komasha nase ba hu guf hamitzvah atzma. Both parts of the mila, meaning the mila and the priya, are part and parcel of the mitzvah mila. Vim lo gamra lo nases el chatzia mitzvah. And if you only do the mila, you've done half of the mitzvah. Kamo shim lo hitel tzitzis el b'shtei knafav. The same way, if you put two corners of tzitzis without the other two corners, you've done half of the mitzvah. V'chein v'tzkiyah shofar lo hishlim hatzkiyos. If you do only some of the shofar blowing, and you don't do the entire set of tzkiyos, you've done part of the mitzvah. Aval gabi hashavas aveda, says the Mukhe Yosef, ikar gufa mitzvah hashava bebeis havailim. The mitzvah is to return the lost object to the owner's home. Shezeu ikar guf kavanas hamitzvah. That is the idea. That is the purpose of the mitzvah. The hashar, and this is the important line, and the rest of it, have ke'ein machshire mitzvah. Devadai afal pisha tzarech lahashavas aveda hanatila vava. Even though it's true, a necessary step, but a preparatory step in the hashava is to take the object and to bring it to the owner. Still, says the Mukhe Yosef, it's only what we call machshirin. It's preparatory. It's preparatory. Lachin ikar guf hamitzvah hu hashava el beiso. V'dami l'machshir shar mitzvos. Sha'af l'pish shesarech l'ikar mitzvos netilas lulav l'akram en adekel. Right, what would you say the following thing? Would you say that cutting off the branch from the palm tree for the purpose of the mitzvah of lulav, is that part and parcel of the mitzvah? No. Clearly, when you cut off the lulav, that's preparatory. That's there to facilitate the eventual kiyam hamitzvah of lulav. That's what we call machshire mitzvah. Like the Gemara in Shabbos discusses by Mila. Making the Mila knife is not part and parcel of the mitzvah Mila. That's machshire Mila. It's preparatory. So says the Mukhe Yosef, the initial tipul, the initial process of engaging in the object, is preparatory as machshire mitzvah of hashavas aveda, but the actual mitzvah of hashavas aveda is only the hashavas returning the lost object. Therefore, says the Mukhe Yosef, it's not bitna. And the mitzvah is not happening simultaneously with the aveira. So therefore, he says, you're forced to say the first answer. You're right, the Gemara could have said it. We're back to square one. The first answer, that the Gemara could have said it's not bitten, but the Gemara chose a different answer. But what do you see from this machlokus between the Nemuki Yosef and the Ran? A fundamental machlokus in terms of understanding the nature of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Is Hashavas Aveda pshuto kevashmo, returning the lost object? And only once its return has one fulfilled the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, everything else is preparatory. It's nice, it's necessary, but I wouldn't say that you're fulfilling any mitzvah. That's not the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. That is the opinion of the Nemuke Yosef. And the Ran understood, no, Hashavas Aveda is really a misnomer. It's not Hashavas Aveda. It's like what Alan said, it's the process of Hashavas Aveda. It's a process, a long process. Obviously, the goal, the eventual goal, and the Gemar HaMitzvah is returning the lost object. But one is being osik in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, kol zman, that they go over to the lost object, they pick it up, they bring it home, they take care of it, and eventually they return it. That's all part and parcel of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, so much so that we can say that it's be'idna, it's happening simultaneously with the Kohen when he goes to the Beis HaKvaros, that he's becoming Tamei. So this machlokus about Esei docher lo sasei, Kohen become coming to Beis HaKvaros, whether it's be'idna or not, leads to a fundamental machlokus rishonim as to how to conceptualize the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Well, and it can have nafkaminas, like Jordan said, when it comes to other areas of halacha in terms of osik b'mitzvah, pater min mitzvah, and other potential machlokus. Okay, so that's one.
Does that same principle apply to other mitzvahs that occur over time? Let's say giving a get, which is a process.
Correct.
Right? So if you have to deliver a get,
yeah,
is that considered hechsher of the get, or is that the ikur process of giving it, fulfilling the mitzvah of gerushin?
Good question. There, the pashtus is that the mitzvah of gerushin is the mesina saget, is the actual giving of the get.
So all the other stuff.
If that's a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah in the same way. Meaning that when you have mitzvah saget, then
the, right. There are other mitzvahs that are probably Shavuot Aveda is unique in that it is a process.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
You have to do multiple steps to do it. If there was another mitzvah that had multiple steps and you the same process.
Correct. Potentially. Yeah, if you think of one, we can discuss. But either way, in terms of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, so you have this machlokas between the Ran and the Nemuke Yosef. Okay, so that's one tremendous chiddush that comes out of the Gemara in Bava Metzia and Daf Lamed. One other chiddush that we're going to discuss tonight is the idea of Zaken ve'ena levichvodo. So the other example on the Braisa where a person is allowed to refrain from doing Hashavas Aveda is when a person is a Zaken, he's an elder, a wise man, and it's beneath his dignity to engage in Hashavas Aveda. There the Torah says, v'hisalamta, you are actually allowed to refrain from doing Hashavas Aveda. And there is a major machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush when it comes to this halacha of Zaken ve'ena levichvodo, whether the Zaken is allowed to do the Hashavas Aveda. Meaning, the Torah says it's putter, it's mutter for him to refrain from doing Hashavas Aveda, but is he allowed to do the mitzvah? Or do we say no? It's beneath his kavod, it's against his dignity, it undermines his dignity, so the Torah prohibits him from doing Hashavas Aveda. So take a look at the Rambam in source 3 in the Rambam Hilchos Gzeila Aveda Perek Yudal Halacha Gimel, says the Rambam, Matzah Sakal Kupa, if he finds a sack or a type of box, that apparently it's not such a coveted thing to have to do Hashavas Avedan. If the person was a wise man or a dignified elder, it's not normal for him to hold on to these types of objects. Eino chayiv lihi tapal b'hem. Says the Rambam, he's not obligated to be metapal them. The omen is daito ilu hayashalo im hayamachzir la'atzmo. And he has to determine for himself if he would do it for himself. If he lost a sack or a kupa, would he pick it up in the street and take it home for himself? So if he would do it for himself, then he has to do it for someone else. But if he's so dignified that he wouldn't even do it for himself, then we say he doesn't have to do it for someone else, right? Says the Rambam, if he wouldn't do it for himself because of his dignity, then we assume that's when the Torah patters him from having to do Hashavas Aveda of this object for his friend. So from the Rambam, it's clear that Eino Chayiv, he's not obligated, but from the Rambam, he implies that he's allowed to. The Zaken can volunteer to do Hashavas Aveda on this object, even though it's beneath his dignity, it goes against his kavod. Nevertheless, it sounds like from the Rambam that he is allowed to volunteer to do the mitzvah. He's potter, but he's allowed to do it. Take a look at the Rush in source 4, the Rush. In Simon Chafal, Parag Besim Chulhaf, Yeroyli, Kevan Shepatra Torah Zazakin, She'ein Lo Lezalzal Bechvodo, Isser Hu Legabi Didei, She'mezalzal Lechvod Torah B'makom She'ein Chayev. Says the Rush, he thinks that once the Torah patters him from the mitzvah, it is a prohibition. He is prohibited from doing Hashavas Aveda. Why? Because it's at the expense of Kavara Torah. The whole reason the Torah prohibited him from engaging in, or pattered him from engaging in Hashavas Aveda is because it goes against his Kavara Torah, the Torah that he represents as a Chacham, or a Zaken Mechuba, the Torah that he represents. Therefore, if he were to now do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda in an instant where the Torah pattered him, now he's doing it at the expense of the Kavara Torah, and says the Rush, it is the Usur for him to do Hashavas Aveda in that case. So if he were to determine that he would not do it for himself, then, says the Rush, it would be usur for him to do it for his friend. So that's the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush about whether the Zaken ve'ina levichlodo, whether it is mutter for him to do the Hashavas Aveda or usur for him to do Hashavas Aveda. Now, this machlokas, the Rambam and the Rush, is the basis for a very, very interesting tshuva of the Chavos Yair. The Chavos Yair was Rav Yair Bachrach, and he's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchos Kavara Torah, the following fascinating shaila. He was asked the following shaila. There was a big Talmud Chacham who was very, very musically talented. He knew how to play instruments. He was a great singer. And he wanted to play at a chasna. A big Talmud Chacham, and he wanted to play at a chasna. The problem was, for him to play all the instruments and sing at the chasna was going to lead to something which was kind of beneath his dignity. It was going to undermine his kavod. He didn't have to be dance and do silly things, and it would be beneath his kavod. So the question that the Chavos Yair was asked was whether the Talmud Chacham is allowed to be mochel on his kavod for the purpose, for the mitzvah of being misameach chasan v'kala. That was the question that he was asked. Interesting question. So he says, at first glance, it should depend on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam holds that when the Torah says that a zaken ve'ein al v'chodo is pater from the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda, he's still allowed to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, even though it's going to go against, even though it's going to undermine his dignity and his kavod. And the Rosh felt that no, once the Torah paters him, because it's against his kavod, it is usher for him to be mezalzel in his kavod for the purpose of being mekayim the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So the Chavos Yoyer says, at first glance, this shaila depends on the Rambam and the Rosh. If you assume, like the Rambam, that the Zakin is allowed to engage them in the mitzvah, even though he's going to be mezalzel in his kavod, so presumably this Talmud Chacham is allowed to play at the chasana, even though it's going to be mezalzel in his kavod, since he's doing it for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of misameach chasan mekala, so he's allowed to be mezalzel in his kavod in order to be mekayim that mitzvah. But according to the Rosh, it should come out that it's prohibited. Why? Because the Rosh holds that one is not allowed to be mezalzel in his kavod in order to fulfill a mitzvah that he's not obligated, and he's not obligated to be misameach chasan. He doesn't have to go to the chasan necessarily. So in order to fulfill a mitzvah of misameach chasan mekala, the Rosh would hold that you're not allowed to be mezalzel in your kavod. So that's what he says. At first, it would seem, according to the Chavos Yoyer, it would seem that this shaila depends on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh. And then he says, no, not so fast. It could be that even according to the Rosh, it would be mutter for this Talmud Chacham to play at the chasan. Why is that? Why would that be? Sounds like from the Rosh, you're not allowed to be mezalzel in your kavod in order to fulfill a mitzvah that you're not necessarily obligated to do. So, it's based on the Gemara Maseches Brachos in Source 5. The Gemara Maseches Brachos has the following sugya, the sugya of Kavod Abrios. The Gemara says, Amar Vino Marav, Hamotze Kilayim Bevigdo, Poshtan Afila Bashuk. So the Gemara says, if a person finds Kilayim, he's wearing shatnez on his shirt, and he just realizes when he's out in the street, so the halach is he's supposed to take off his shirt, even though he's going to end up shirtless in the shuk, my taima. Ein chachmav, ein tfunav, ein eitzel neger Hashem. Kol makam sheyishchil Hashem, ein cholkin kavod l'rav. So says the Gemara that anytime there's going to be a chil Hashem, meaning a violation of an avera, even though it's going to lead to violation of one's dignity, like in this case, the person is going to have to take off a shirt. We're not concerned about the person's kavod abrios. We're not concerned about the person's dignity, as long as it's going to avoid the violation of avera. So in this case, even though he's going to be embarrassed by being shirtless, but since it's for the purpose of avoiding the iser of kilayim, what do we say? We say that he should take off the shirt. So that's the whole discussion of kavod abrios, whether we allow the person to, for the purpose of kavod abrios, violate isurim or not. So the Gemara at first assumes that we don't violate isurim for the purpose of kavod abrios. You have to avoid the iser, even if it's going to be at the expense of kavod abrios. And the Gemara has a whole back and forth proving one way or the other. So now this is where it gets interesting, relevant to us. So the Gemara, in one of its attempts, proves from our din of zakein ve'ein lefichlodo tashma ve'salam mehem pa'amim, in the second line here in Source 5, pa'amim sha'ata misalim mehem u'pa'amim she'einata misalim mehem. So we say when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, sometimes you're allowed to refrain and sometimes you're not allowed to refrain. Ha'ketzad in my kohen v'bevezek varos o ha'yazakein ve'ein lefichlodo o sha'isim lach v'rum shel chaver l'kach nemer v'salamta amai. So says the Gemara, wait a second, when it comes to zakein ve'ein lefichlodo, doesn't that seem to indicate that when you have a conflict between kavod habrios, human dignity, and a mitzvah, which wins? From zaken of lichoda, what wins? Human dignity, kavod habrios, beats the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So why don't we say the same thing when it comes to kilayim b'shuk? When the person is wearing a shirt of shatnez, why don't we say that the human dignity should push aside the prohibition of kilayim, and we should allow him to continue wearing the shirt? Good question. What's the difference between the two cases? So says the Gemara, Amai lema ein chachma vein tfunim eitzel neger Hashem. Says the Gemara, Shani hasam dichsiv v'hisalamta. No! When it comes to Hashavas Aveda, there's a gzeiras hakasuv. There is an exception to the rule that when it comes to the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, we say that Kavod HaBrios takes precedence over the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So says the Gemara, why is that an exception to the rule? Why is that the paradigm? V'ligamar minei. Why doesn't Hashavas Aveda serve as the paradigm for Kol HaTorah Kula that Kavod HaBrios, human dignity, should override and overrule mitzvos and aveiros? Says the Gemara, no. Isura mimamona lo yalfinan. We don't learn Isser from Mammon, meaning just because in the realm of Mammonis, in the realm of monetary law, when it comes to money, we say that the human dignity pushes aside areas of Mammonis, that's not necessarily true when it comes to Isurim, like wearing Kilayim, on other types of Isurim. The Gemara talks about Kohanim becoming Tameh. When it comes to those types of Isurim, we don't say that human dignity pushes those aside. There, the Aveira, the Isser, pushes aside Kavod HaBrios. So the Gemara is telling us is that we have two categories. Sometimes Kavod HaBrios wins, and sometimes the Mitzvos and the Isurim. And what's the rule? So the Gemara says there's a difference between Isser and Mammon. So says the Chavas Yar, back to his shaila. Again, his shaila was that, was the rabbi allowed to be mezalzel in his kavod? Is he allowed to do the mitzvah and override his kavod habrios, his human dignity? What was that? Ah, so wait a second. So then we said that maybe l'chora it should depend on the machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush. The Rambam said that the Zakin is allowed to be mezalzel in his kavod for the purpose of the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam, of Hashavas Aveda, so too he should be able to mezalzel in his kavod for the purpose of the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam Nechala. And the Rush felt that he's not allowed to be mezalzel in his kavod for the purpose of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, so too he should not be allowed to be mezalzel in his kavod for the purpose of the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam Nechala. Says the Chavas Yar, maybe the Rush would agree. Why? Because the Gemara and Brachos just told us that the idea of Zakein ve'ena lefichodo, which tells us that Kavod HaBrios, human dignity, overrides and supersedes mitzvos, that's when we're talking about areas of mammonis. When we're talking about questions of returning one's money. There we say, don't be worried about someone else's money if it's at the expense of your human dignity. But when it comes to mitzvos, like Simchas Chasam Nechala, where it's not a question of a person's, another person's money, it's a question, it's on the, you know, a certain type of bin adam l'chaveiro, bin adam l'makom, somewhere in between, where you're making someone else happy, but it's really not in the realm of mamnis, it's a pure mitzvah, says the Chavas Yari, even the Rush would agree that the mitzvah will potentially override, supersede the Kavod HaBrios' dignity. Now, he doesn't necessarily have to because he doesn't have to go to the chasna. It wasn't his child. He could, learn instead. But he's allowed to engage in the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam Nechala, even if it's going to be at the expense of his human dignity, because this is really similar to the case of Kilayim and not similar to the case of Hashavas Aveda. Because when the Gemara says that Hashavas Aveda, that you have a rule of Zakim Enel Bichvodo, it's limited to cases of Mammon, like the Gemara says. And even the Rush, who says that you can't be mezalz on your kavod for the purpose of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, that's like for mitzvos of Mammon. But when you have mitzvos that are pure mitzvos, so pure averos, here is a pure mitzvah of Simchas Chasam Nechala, nothing to do with mammonis. You're not trying to save someone else a buck. You're not trying to save someone else's money. There you're allowed to be mezalzel in your kavod for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah, and that is the psak of the Chavas Yar. He allowed the Rav to be Mesameach Chasam Nechala and be menagein and play all different types of musical instruments at the chasna, even though it's going to be a pchisus in his kavod. That is the psak of the Chavas Yar. Now, what's interesting is the Be'er Halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, this is the Mishnah Berurah, and this Be'er Halacha seems to disagree with the Hagdara, the chiluk of the Chavas Yar. Now, again, the Chavas Yar says there's a difference between mitzvos of Mammon and mitzvos of Isser and pure mitzvos. When it comes to mitzvos of Mammon, there we would say that you're not allowed to be mezalz on your kavod. When it comes to mitzvos of, you know, pure mitzvos and pure Isurim, there we say that you're allowed to be mezalz on your kavod. So the Be'er Halacha seems to disagree. Why do I think that? Because the Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchos Shabbos that you're supposed to prepare for Shabbos. And the Gemara in Kiddushin tells the story of different Amoraim, how they would do different things to prepare for Shabbos right at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin. This one would salt the fish, this one would chop the wood, and they would do different things which ostensibly, which seem to be a beneath them, right? They would do things which there are these huge rabbis and they're doing things that, you know, your average simpleton does. And it was beneath their kavod, their kavod Torah. So how were they allowed to do that? How were they allowed to do that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, quoting the Rambam, Zehu kvodam, because this was their honor. This was their honor to do the mitzvah. What does that mean? Why don't we say that by every mitzvah? It's their honor to do the mitzvah. So take a look at the Be'er Halacha. Yishu b'zeh, in source 7. Yishu b'zeh ma'ashikshe b'shut chavaz yar. The chavaz yar actually asked this question. Eich hikilu b'chvodam, a different tshuva. Eich hikilu b'chvodam ha'gadol kavod abriyos shedoche lo saseh shebetorah. The chavaz yar asked, how could it be that these rabbis would engage in this form of kavod Shabbos, of preparing for Shabbos? Isn't that being mezalzel in their kavod for the purpose of a mitzvah? How were they allowed to do that for kavod Shabbos? Lachain says the Be'er Halacha, Ka'amar dezehu kvodam, she'osek ba'atzmo b'mitzvah, v'nikar she'osek kein l'chvod Hashem Yisbarach. Says the Be'er Halacha, because since it was clear that they were doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah, it was abundantly clear that on Erev Shabbos, Rav Yosef has his head in the Gemara all week, and punked on Friday, 3 hours before Shabbos, he's chopping wood, or he's salting the fish, I forget who did what. It's clear that he's doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. That's not a pchisos in his kavod. That's not being mezalz in his kavod. That is dignified and honorable for him to get involved and get his hands dirty in the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. When it's clear that the zilzul is for the purpose of the mitzvah, that is dignified and that is honorable. V'chein hu omer b'david ha-melech al v'shalom. V'niklosi od mizos. David HaMelech praised himself that he disgraced himself for the purpose of a mitzvah. Masha inkin, says the Be'er Halacha. As opposed to, im ein nikar kmo zakein v'inil v'chlodo b'aveda v'chadome. When it comes to zakein v'inil v'chlodo, why is he not allowed to engage in the Hashavas Aveda? Because there, it's not so obvious that he's doing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. You go over to you see someone in the shuk, an older man, and he's walking over to a sack of potatoes. So, is it so obvious that he's doing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? Maybe he's just picking up his package of potatoes. It's not clear that he's engaged in a mitzvah. Since it's not clear that he's engaged in a mitzvah, it's not nicker. It's not clear that he's doing a mitzvah. There we say that he can't be mezalz on his kavod. V'chadome she'mischal al kvod ha'tam v'chacham al-yidezeh. V'rot lomer she'ein ha'kol yodin shu osik b'mitzvah. There, it's not everyone sees that the perception isn't so clear that he's doing a mitzvah. There says the Be'er Halacha, according to Rambam Gadim, he's not allowed to be mezalz on his kavod, at least according to the Rush. He's not allowed to be mezalz on his kavod for the purpose of a mitzvah because it's not abundantly clear that he's doing a mitzvah. But when it comes to the case of kavod Shabbos, when it's clear, it's abundantly clear that he's doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah, there we say that he's allowed to do the mitzvah even though ostensibly it's at the expense of his kavod, because zehu kvodo when he's doing the mitzvah. So again, the Be'er Halacha has a different hagdara than the Chavaz Yira. The Chavaz Yira was mechalik between mamon versus all other mitzvahs. When it comes to mamon, you're not allowed to. When it comes to all other mitzvahs, you are allowed to. The Be'er Halacha is saying it depends on the context. If it's clear that you're engaged in the mitzvah, so you're allowed to be mezalzel for the purpose of the mitzvah. But if it's not so clear, you know, it looks like you're doing something, some average type of thing like Hashavas Aveda, there you're not allowed to do Hashavas Aveda if it's going to be mezalzel in your kavod. Now, I think the Be'er Halacha would still paskin the same way as the Chavaz Yira, because you have this rabbi who's standing on the stage with a guitar and going crazy at the chasna. I think it's pretty clear that he's doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam Nakala. And I think that Zehu Kvodo, that is a tremendous mitzvah, you know, as a shtick, exactly. And you see these big rabbis do crazy things at a chasana. And we are by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Tanoim and would do tremendous different acrobatics and juggling things. That wasn't a priestess in their cover because it was clear they're doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah of Simchas Chasam, Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So I think the Be'er Halacha would agree fundamentally with the Psak of the Chavaz Yar, but there's a chiluk, there's these two perspectives of when we say one is allowed to do the mitzvah, even though it's going to be at the expense of their kavod, and when do we invoke the principle of Zakein Ve'ena Levichlodo, which again, according to Rambam, means that one's allowed to, but pater. But according to the Rosh, it's an isser. You're not allowed to do the mitzvah. So we saw these two perspectives of the Chavos Yair and the Be'er Halacha. One last thing, and we'll end over this, is a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, and this I'm just going to say it over to entertain you, but a tremendous chiddush of Rosh Shlomo Kluger. We know that the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin tells us that part and parts of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is not only returning one's lost object, but also saving a person. Hashavas Gufo, if a person is lost, if a person is drowning, part of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is not only to return his property, but also to return himself. To return his body, to save a person from danger, is a key of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So says Rav Shlomo Kluger, listen to this tremendous chiddush, and we'll leave it at that, that just like when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, returning one's lost property, there is an exception of Zakein Ve'inel HaVikvodo, that's beyond, it's, if it's beneath your dignity, you don't have to return the lost property. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, so too when it comes to the mitzvah of Hashavas Gufo, you see a person drowning, and it's beneath your kavod to jump into the water and save the person, he thinks that the exception of Zakein Ve'inel HaVikvodo should also apply to that. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that you should lay out money and try to get a lifeguard to try and save the person. But let's say there's no lifeguard and you can't lay out money and there's no other option except for you to jump in. Rav Shlomo Kluger thinks that the Ptur of Zakein LeVichlodo not only applies to Hashavas Aveda, it also applies to Hashavas Gufo because it's learned from the same Pasuk. So he has that tremendous chiddush. Now, all the Achronim, all the Achronim disagree with this chiddush. Why that is, we'll have to say that for a different time, but these are some of the highlights of Bamasiyah Dachlam and that small braisa. Yashikoyah.